Let me have you turn over to Luke chapter 10 here tonight. I can't really say why. The Lord's been dealing with me about preaching this message here again. I preached it probably 5 or 6 years ago. I've preached it around a little bit at a couple places I've been to recently. And I hope that I'm right about the Lord wanting me to preach it here again so soon. But in Luke chapter 10, go down to verse 38. I know it's a really familiar passage. There's something here that, have you ever had one of those passages that, again, you know, it was real familiar to your tongue and all, and there's a part of it, maybe a phrase or whatever, that you had presumed you knew what it meant, and then the more you thought about it, the more you realized maybe you didn't. And then when you did, it taught you something. I guess that makes some sense, huh? Chapter 10, verse 38. Now, it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Don't you care, Lord? Don't you care? Make her do this. Verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for these folks that came out tonight. It's cold, and it'd be just as easy to stay home, probably a lot easier. I appreciate them being dedicated enough, Lord, to come out and hear the Word of God tonight. We pray that You'll give them a blessing for it, and may this help, Lord. This is a sermon for a family. By that I mean the family of God, and just to dig around a little bit, make sure that we have some things straight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in verse 40, this sermon is about Martha. And in verse 40, it says Martha was coming about much serving. And down at the end, it says that she's left me to serve alone. So twice in that verse, serving's mentioned. And you probably know quite a number of admonitions admonishing you to serve the Lord. I mean, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing in Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling in Psalm 2. Acts 20, Paul said that he served the Lord with all humility of mind. And in Romans 12, we're not supposed to be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit serving the Lord, right? And when it gets down to it, you can say that really what the Christian life boils down to, not obviously pre-Christian life, but what Christian life boils down to is you serving God. And of course, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, right? Well, serving God has become one of those phrases that's kind of a cliche. It means all kinds of things. Serving God nowadays means you get a stud in your tongue and get a tattoo and what? Strip for Jesus or something. I met somebody that did that one time. And, you know, it did, basically they play in rock bands for Jesus, claiming to serve God and everything under the sun. Well, you are wise enough to know that that's not how that works. What I do know is that most of the people sitting here, maybe all of you, are King James Bible believers, and most all of you here are dedicated, obviously, from tonight, real dedicated members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I want you to understand that I'm not interested in beating up on you here tonight at all, because I know that you are serving. I mean, by the time you start taking things into account, you know, I get some letters from churches, you know, who on their church letter heading, they have all their separate ministries listed, you know, and I've never done that on our church stationery or anything. But you stop and consider, you know, we have door-to-door visitation, street preaching, juvenile ministry, nursing home ministry. Some folks were at nursing home today. And aside from that, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that's going on, right? And I know that there's a lot of people here in our church that give quite a bit of their time. There are people here that sacrifice to do what they do for the Lord. And I'm nobody that's here, including me, are all that we could be. and may, probably, and well, not all that we should be, but still, the direction's forward, right? I mean, you are here on a Sunday night with, you know, the temperature hovering around zero, and you drove here on slick roads, and some of you drove for an hour to get here, and I appreciate it. I really do. And so I want you to know that, I'm, you know, we're not out to beat up on you here tonight, because what I've said about service, I know that you are serious about serving God. I wanted you to see, though, in verse 38, I mean, sometimes it's worthwhile to check to see that all the ducks are in order. In verse 38, now you tell me how you read this. Came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Okay, she received him into her house. I don't know how you read that, but I read that she wanted him to come. She knew who he was. It says later, and we'll look at it in a minute, says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, right? So there's a personal relationship there. And so she knows who's coming. She has specifically invited him. She has specifically made preparations for him. She has wittingly and willingly invited them to her house. And I say that because I know sometimes how ladies can get if there's a last-minute invitation to their house. When the meal hasn't been planned and the house hasn't been cleaned, sometimes ladies can get uptight. It takes some of us guys a few years to learn that in a marriage. But whatever is the case here, I don't know how you read this, but I don't read that into this passage. Martha knew who he was, invited him there, has made preparations, and, you know, I don't read that this is something like she's in over her head on this thing. Well, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Okay, so Mary sits there as happy and as satisfied and tranquil as somebody can be. Martha's in there stewing around in the kitchen, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet talking to him. Okay, all fine and good, except verse 40, it says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, that's what I was talking about earlier when I said, you know, you read a phrase, and you presume you knew what it meant, but the more you think about it, maybe you don't. She's cumbered about much serving. I always read that in as Martha was overwhelmed. Here is the Lord sitting in her living room. Maybe she didn't know he was coming, all that kind of thing. That's not the case. She's cumbered about much serving. All she's doing is cooking a meal. I don't know how you read this either. But I don't read here that there are 12 disciples sitting there. I don't read that there's, I could be wrong, I suppose. The only three people mentioned, I don't even read that Lazarus is anywhere near. Looks to me like it's Jesus, Mary, and Martha. If that's the case, then a lot of you ladies prepare meals for more than three people every day, more than once a day. Now, I'll grant you, it's not the Lord, I understand that. But she invited him there. It's not like, I guess the point is, it's not like Martha's in over her head, right? I mean, you find out every time you see Martha, and you only see her three times in the Scripture, usually you see her and she's busy cooking, to be honest with you. She's a master in the kitchen, apparently. And it's real, yeah, and she's real good at the stuff. And so my point in going through all this is to say she's cumbered about much serving. But if you're reading it like I used to read it, which is that she's a little overwhelmed by the company, she's a little overwhelmed by the pressure, and the potatoes are boiling over, and, you know, the meat may be turning a little too brown, and it's just too much. I don't believe that's it. That's it. It doesn't say that she's cumbered by much serving. It doesn't say that she's cumbered in much serving. It says she's cumbered about much serving. And in other words, her encumbrance was her much serving. Her yoke and her cross to her was how much she was doing and perhaps how little she was appreciated. After all, Mary's in there sitting at Jesus' feet, and I tell you what, If I had to put Mary in the kitchen, nothing would ever get done. She can't boil water. And she's sitting in there right now. And I tell you what, if I wasn't the one doing the cooking, I guess Jesus would just starve. Because Lord knows nobody else in this house will feed him. It's one of those deals, you know. And she's it's kind of a martyr's complex. She's in there working. She's got flour all over the place. And, you know, she's burned her hand on a frying pan. And, a few things have gone wrong. And, she's got, flour on her face a little bit and doesn't even know it. And she's just kind of flustered by the thing. But it's not that she's in over her head. It's that she's cumbered about much serving. I just tell you what, I just don't know what to do with that, Mary. It's been like this our entire lives. I am telling you, if I didn't cook, nothing would get done here. She's sitting there and there on her can just talking to him. I'd like to be in there talking to him, but no, I'm in the kitchen. See, she is cumbered about much serving, not by it. She's not cumbered in it. She's cumbered about it. It's the subject. She serves much, and it's her burden, because I've served and served and served, and sometimes I wonder if anybody even appreciates it. Okay? So, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So Martha comes before His presence in verse 40 and says, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? Make her help me. That's not the song he wants to hear. Right? I want to talk to you about the subject tonight. Martha was cumbered. And this is just a reminder. Now, this is for family. If somebody was here lost tonight, this is really not for you. And in fact, it's not for you really if you're not serving at all. Because it's about getting a little deeper than just service. And it's to show that there's some things to be expected, and it's possible. You know, if this was a carburetor, we'd be fine. And I know some of you don't even know what a carburetor is, but if this is a carburetor, you're fine tuning the carburetor. The car's running all right. It just needs to be tuned a little finer. Okay, this is not to discourage anybody from service by any stretch of the imagination. It's just to show. You know, Paul said, "I show you a better way," and it's kind of like that. First of all, with regard to this, I need to point out something to you. I need to point out to you, first of all, the servant's encumbrance. It says there that she is cumbered about much serving. Now, she's cumbered. If that's an encumbrance, okay? There's only one other place in the Bible where anything or anybody was cumbered. And that was the passage over in Luke chapter 13 where the Lord told him to cut down the fig tree. You know, why cumbereth it the ground? And a lot of prophecy involved with that. But bottom line is, you know, a tree drains the ground. It strains, it takes strength from the ground. It takes all the minerals and takes all the nourishment out, and it needs to be replaced. And if a fruit tree is not bearing fruit, you might as well cut the thing down because it's just sucking the ground dry. It's a drain. And so Martha, she said she was cumbered about much serving. It's worthwhile to note that serving is a cumbrance. Okay? You're serving God. I know you are. And what you should expect from that is sometimes, I don't know if you think that when you go and serve God, that you should be, flying sky high afterward or some such thing. I tell you what, you're going to be tired after. It's draining. You can go, I don't know, I go on visitation, it's nothing but walking around and pounding on doors. I work a lot harder cutting wood. I come home tireder after visitation or street preaching than I come home after cutting wood. Okay? It is a cumbrance. It's needful to say that if you're going to serve God, you're going to be cumbered. It's going to drain you. It's going to be a strain for you. Serving God has come to mean a lot of things to a lot of people. When you serve God, you're supposed to feel good, and you're supposed to come away with warm fuzzies, okay? And when you go serve God, you're just so satisfied, and the blessings are raining down, and things are just wonderful. And, there's some of that, too, I understand, but mainly, that is a commandeering of Bible terminology. Because when you serve God, I tell you this, you're going to be cumbered. Martha, when she undertook to do something for Jesus Christ, should have expected the devil to give her a hard time. She should have expected to have to deal with some things in her spirit that, she maybe wouldn't have had to if she was cooking for, Jerry Joe Plumber down the street. All right? I mean, it's just one of those things. She should have expected that. Now, there's something else. I do believe that there's very little that that's done today that really prepares a lot of or the young Christians that get saved for some of the things that are going to come in the Christian life. I mean, we are sometimes fortunate. You win somebody to Christ, and you're pretty fortunate to get them to sit down with you twice, go over baptism and eternal security and assurance with them, and hit them a couple of other things, and by that time, they're off doing something else, and you can hardly get with them, and they don't come to church at all. I mean, with that, I can tell you what they're not going to get. If they're not going to get in, and in some churches, even then, they won't get it, but they're not going to be prepared for the frustration of the Christian life, for the failure that comes, the personal failure, or the failure of other Christians. They're not going to be prepared for that. They're not going to be prepared for what turns out to be a real fight. And the fact that, you know, the Christian life may have seemed, you know, shrouded in glory from the other side of the cross, but after you live the Christian life for a couple of years, you know, we look forward to heaven, but there's just an awful lot of mundane daily stuff. And if you think a prayer closet is shrouded in glory, it won't be. Not until you get to heaven and see the other side. Right? If you think that every time you sit down and read the Bible, that a voice from heaven and light from heaven is going to fall on your Bible. I got news for you. It's not going to be like that. And I believe there's precious little that's done to really prepare people for that. I'm just telling you that serving God's a drain. Serving God is going to be an encumbrance. It's demanding. It takes discipline. Okay? You have to do stuff you don't want to do. You have to, God is not at all interested in what you're comfortable with. He'll see to it that you're placed in a position where you either have to tell him no or do something you're really uncomfortable with. That's just the way it is. Okay, now look, you say, well, you know, if I'd known that it was going to be so hard to serve God, I might not have even got saved. Well, I have this to say, you know, don't feel like a martyr, okay, just because in serving God it's a drain and it costs you something. Because the truth of the matter is you were going to serve something anyway, and that was certainly going to cost you. I mean, if you weren't in church tonight, you know, you'd have found something else to do. And by the time 10 o'clock rolled around, you'd be tired. You'd be tired from doing that. I mean, you don't understand what I'm saying? So, okay, first, the servant's encumbrance. Now, having said that, I just needed to acknowledge that if Martha expected to be revived and refreshed after cooking for Jesus, well, she should have understood something different. She was going to be cumbered by it, right? There's things that come when you decide to serve Jesus Christ. They that will, all that will live godly, that's what I was trying to say. I kept confusing it with 1 Timothy 6, but all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Just willing to serve. All right. Having said that, I need to move from the servant's encumbrance to something else. I need to point out a couple of things about Martha's spirit. Not going to be long here, but Martha works up a head of steam in the kitchen. She's mad that Mary is sitting doing nothing, and comes barreling out of the kitchen under a head of steam and says to the Lord, "Don't you care? Don't you care that she's not helping? Make her help me." That's kind of saucy. Kind of peevish, don't you think? Come out giving Christ orders, demanding him answer you. Don't you care? Look at verse 40. "Lord, dost thou not care?" You don't care. Then the disciples came out of a ship and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Well, Martha's just cooking chicken, that's all. Don't you care? Like I said, kind of saucy, kind of peevish, don't you think? Now, I say that because human nature is an ugly thing. And everybody here that serves God and serves him with real diligence still has a human nature. It's an old fallen nature. It's the flesh. It's carnality. And whenever human nature raises its ugly head, it's not pretty. And I have noticed and I don't mean any of you in particular, I'm just talking about in general. This is a family affair. Every family has its warts and corns, okay? And there are things that a family sits down and deals with that presumably nobody else knows about, and they get straightened out amongst themselves, and it's fine. Okay? Well, that's what this is. Okay? I have noticed through the years that there's a snare set along the path for people that are doing all they can do for the Lord. They have served sometimes when nobody else would. They have been given maybe sometimes more responsibility than other people were even willing to accept, and they've shouldered it, and they've faced the burden of it, and they've gotten the criticism for it, and they've taken some stuff in the neck, and if all, you know, all they had to do was to not undertake it, and they would have been left alone. The devil would have left them alone. But they shouldered a burden that somebody else didn't shoulder. Okay? They have in some cases served when nobody else was serving. They sometimes have sacrificed something that maybe some other people around them don't even understand that they sacrificed in doing so. Okay? And when you serve the Lord like something, they've been faithful for a long time. Anytime pastor or whoever asks them to help do something, they'll be there, even if they really should have said, if there's somebody else, maybe you should get them because I am really, really buried on Tuesday. Okay? And instead, they tried to make time and face the frustration of it and all that. But I mean, they're serious about serving the Lord. Some of them have served God for a long time. Sometimes, three times a week, absolutely in church, unless an absolute disaster happens. I heard a story one time that a pastor had this family. And dad, and he's running late from church or from work, and it's just, you know, they're going to have to leave as soon as he walks in the door, you know, to go to church on Wednesday night. And he walks in, and water is running out his front door. His wife is standing in the kitchen, crying. The plumbing's busted in the kitchen, and there's water flowing all over the place. And he stands and watches her cry for about 30 seconds. Goes in, gets under the sink, cuts the water off, pulls out an auger drill, drills a hole in the kitchen floor so it'll drain, and says, "Let's go to church." So, you know, I mean, I know there are folks like that, and that's a blessing, all right? But there's a certain snare set along the path for people that are interested in serving at that at that level. And the snare is a martyr spirit. They're a magnet for martyr spirit. Because in the end, they sit there and they are cumbered about much serving. If I don't do it, it won't get done. Right? You know, I don't think anybody else in this church knows how to wash a dish in the kitchen. Apparently, when we have a food night, there's nobody in church that knows how to clean a thing because I always wind up doing it. Okay? Yeah, you're right. Somebody else should help. Somebody else should volunteer. Somebody else should plug in. My point is, you know, sometimes, okay, I'll tell on myself. Okay. We have a picnic. At the picnic, pastor brings the charcoal, and the grill is started, and there's a couple of us, you know, grilling. And meat starts coming off. Everybody gets a plate. I'm just telling you, this is, nobody's mistreated me, people. Nobody at all has mistreated me. But I sit there, and at a certain point, people are coming back for seconds. Nobody's mistreated me, people. People are coming back for seconds, and I have to watch myself, or I'm already thinking, there's seconds already. Somebody could volunteer to come cook. The sad part is, people have volunteered to come cook, and I've said, no, you go ahead. I'm already greasy. You know what I'm saying? See, I'm telling you, see, I used to think I was the only one like this, but I know better than that. So when I found out other people were like that, I had a little party hat, you know, put it on, you know, and I had a good time. Because I learned that other people were like me. They're just as depraved as I am. I'm telling you that where you're dedicated and faithful and in deep, and it's cost you something, and you've sacrificed something to serve God, that there's a point in there, maybe on a regular basis, where what gets whispered in your ear by some benevolent soul is, can anybody else do anything but you? I mean, really. Right? You know what you're flirting with? Being cumbered about much serving. You've served and served and served. Does anybody care? Does God even care? Does God even notice? Because I tell you, I've never been thanked. I can't remember the last time anybody gave me a card for Christmas. I don't remember the last time the pastor stood up and said he appreciated my service. And where would we be if it weren't for me, after all? Elijah gets out there in the desert, and the Lord asks him a question twice. What are you doing here? And both times he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because children of Israel have broken thy covenant, and they've thrown down thine altars, and they've slain thy prophets, and I'm the only one left. And he taught him a lesson, or what was supposed to be a lesson, and he asked the question again, and Elijah gave the same speech, down to the same word. And he lost his job. Because, brethren, I'm telling you, this is not the anvil over your head, but this is a family matter. God doesn't like that stuff. He doesn't. He doesn't like that stuff. One time, Brother Keck was here, and we had a missionary that came through while he was here. And you guys probably won't even remember the missionary. But the missionary was here for a couple of days during Brother Keck's meeting. And so we sat down for dinner a couple times, and talked and stuff. And this guy was from a church out east. And it was a real small church, struggling church. And we got to, know him a little bit more during the week. How's things going in the church? Well, the pastor works 60 hours a week. And then pastor's full-time as well. And so, he's just, at the end of his rope on things. And he's been going at it now for 5 years, 7 years, whatever it was. And without a vacation, without a break, doesn't he ever get a chance to get away? Nah, he won't take a day off. He says he can't leave the flock. Doesn't he ever just take a day off? Nah, it's really tight and he has to work, all the time. Don't you guys pay him? Nah, he's missionaries. We support, 15 or 20 missionaries, even though we're a little tiny church. And pastor, he just wants us support missionaries and not worry about supporting him and all that. And then through the week, and Brother Keck is a hound dog with this stuff, brother. I mean, he sniffs out stuff like this. And he said, how's your pastor doing? He said, he's about wore out. He's about ready to quit, I'm afraid. And Brother Keck looks at the missionary one night. He says, your pastor is a martyr, isn't he? He won't take any pay. He won't take a day off. He doesn't recognize the needs of his family. It's all give, give, give. But at the end of giving, it's still this. And the missionary probably goes, yeah, I guess he is. See, Martha was cumbered about much serving. It wasn't that she was overwhelmed. It wasn't that it was too much. But she had served and served and served. And honestly, I don't think anything would get done if I didn't do it. She was cumbered about much. She had a martyr spirit. Okay? And that's, like I said, this is a family affair. It wasn't that she wasn't great in the kitchen, because she winds up in a little bit later in the kitchen again and does it well. There's no question about it. And by the way, there's no question that she's serving, because she is serving. By the way, Jesus Christ doesn't bawl her out. He doesn't. Okay? But that spirit led her to be peevish. That spirit led her to be accusatory and saucy and disrespectful and, blaming the Lord, basically, calling the Lord to account for not caring enough and then ordering him to make my sister help me. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you don't know what I'm saying. All right, well, I'll just preach two more points and quit. So, I looked at the servant's encumbrance, and then I looked at Martha's spirit. I want you to see, and this is important, I want you to see the Lord's attitude. I already touched on it just a second ago. But in verse 40, Martha's serving. She is serving, right? This is not about somebody not serving. This is not ranting and raving because somebody's not doing right. It's not ranting and raving because somebody is not being a help and being, you know, all that. And by the way, this is not pointed at anybody in particular at all whatsoever. I mean, let's examine ourselves a little bit. We're doing right, and a lot of people do right. I mean, this is not a church, folks, that's, you know, where the pastor, the associate pastor, and a deacon do everything. That is not the case at all. And by no stretch is that true. There's a lot of times, sometimes I know some of the guys, it aggravates a little bit. I usually don't get around to listening to the messages that you guys preach when I'm gone. I trust you. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like I have to always look around the corner and check up on people. You know, I don't feel like that if I don't organize and keep a watch care over visitation and street preaching and stuff, that it won't happen. It's not the case. It's not the case at all. I don't oversee Brother Keogh very closely at all with the juveniles. I'm just saying, folks, we're there. This is all good. It's just that where people serve a lot and it costs them to serve somewhat or a lot, there's a snare along that way, and that snare is a martyr spirit. All right? The Lord's attitude. Now, Martha is serving. All that was to say Martha's serving. This is not to discourage service. But it is to point out the fact that it is possible for you to work your fingers to the bone serving the Lord and wind up frustrated, and then, like Martha, wind up a little peevish and a little saucy and a little sassy and a good deal cantankerous and always just kind of on the edge of cranky with God and with everybody else because, after all, I have a lot on my plate. Look at 10:41. Now listen, Martha's doing right, okay? There's no question about it. She's good in the kitchen. There's no question about that. But in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She wasn't cumbered in it. She wasn't cumbered by it. She was cumbered about it. It was the subject of it. And came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You've left me all alone, and you don't even care. Bid her, therefore, I mean, she is telling the Lord what to do. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now look, folks, I guess the important part here is, again, this is a family matter, and the Lord dealt with her like he deals with you. He doesn't blast her. She's cooking a meal for him. She's gone shopping for him. She's cleaning the house for him. I mean, he doesn't, you know, beat her up or berate her. If it's me, oh, do you need a diaper change? You know, the Lord's nicer than I am. Right? He didn't do that. He didn't berate her. But he does point out her problem. Verse 41. Martha, Martha. You know, the Martha, Martha is accompanied with a slight shaking of the head. Martha, Martha. It's that. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. He points out her problem. She's careful. She's full of care. Be careful for nothing. And she's troubled about some things she shouldn't be troubled about. And it's important to see that he does not do her bidding. She said, bid her, therefore, that she help me. And he says, I'm not going to make her come help you. She's chose the better part, and that part will not be taken away from her. So, I appreciate the meal. Why don't you go get it on the table and change your attitude? Right? My point is, he doesn't, you know, he stiff arms her a little bit, He doesn't berate her, doesn't bawl her out, doesn't, you know, tell her she's lost all of her rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not like that. But the relationship that he has with Mary is quite a bit different than what it is with Martha. Now, they're both serving. Mary's sitting and listening. And Martha's in there working her fingers to the bone. She's got flour and grease all over the place. Okay? And she's serving. But what she's missing has nothing to do with the Lord's relationship with her. Her problem is her attitude. You see that? And really, what's bugging her is how much of a price I've paid, and I don't know if he even notices. Right? Now, look in John 11. Martha only shows up in three passages. And it's very interesting when I start piecing this together, just how this came together. John 11 is the passage, of course, where Lazarus dies, and I preached out of it, last week? And Lazarus dies, and of course, he said this sickness is not unto death, them thinking, well, he's not going to die, and then he did die. And of course, Jesus Christ came back and raised him from the dead. So since we know the end of the story already, you know, it's a little bit easier for us to evaluate it. But I want you to notice that, of course, he tarries a few days before even coming, right? Verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Okay, he knew what he was doing, right? All right, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, now Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Well, it says that. He found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So Mary and Martha, again, they have a head of steam about this. I'm pretty upset. All right, verse 18. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary, this is St. Martha and St. Mary, to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And I don't know, I can't help it, but I read a little bit of a challenge into that. Don't you? Why weren't you here? You said you were coming. You said it wasn't unto death. How come he died? Where were you? What were you thinking? I think that she considers herself a little bit of Jesus' older sister and mother all at the same time. She's edging up to the edge. Well, she's edging up on the envelope of being a battle axe. You're not careful. A bad attitude will make you a battle axe, ladies, and it'll make you something else, guys. It'll make you a donkey. Anyway, verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. Now, look, she's playing with the battle axe thing a little bit, but she's not without faith, and it's not like she doesn't love Jesus, and she's not bitter at him to the point that she's going to quit believing, okay? You can call her a believer who has a relationship and a friendship with Jesus Christ, but it's different than Mary's. And just keep going here. Okay, I know that whatever you ask, God will give it you. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Well, I know that he'll rise again at the last day. Let me see, he's trying to help her, and she's ringing. She's got that thing going. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. She kind of got the last word there. I don't know if she got out of it what Christ really wanted her to get out of it, which was, I mean, you see in the end, when by the time we preached about it last week, by the time you get down to verse 40, didn't I tell you that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? He was trying to get across to her that there was hope not only for the future, but for today. And she was just kind of all snarly because of her attitude. Right? Now, if you doubt that, if you think my evaluation is a little too much, and you know that Martha really wasn't a battle axe. Well, she was getting close. I preached a meeting in Alabama one time a few years back. A guy had me down there and preaching. He had a lady in his church. Turned out to be his, his daughter married her son, so they would have wound up being in-laws. But we sat down to dinner that night. She's an older lady and her husband. And we sat down to eat. We were going to eat and then at the preacher's house and then go to the meeting that night. I was preaching. And so, I don't know, they had pork chops. I know it was mashed potatoes. And I got a pork chop on my plate and some mashed potatoes. And everything's passed around. And in a minute, up she pipes and says, "Well, if the preacher eats any more potatoes, he won't be able to preach tonight." It was kind of like said like that, too. And I was like, "Ho, ho, ho. Pass the potatoes." That's exactly what I said. Pass those potatoes back here. All right. But the deal is, okay, she said that, right? But I want you to see something, and it's real important. Go down to verse 32. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now look, what she said were the exact words of what Martha said in verse 21, right? Now watch, verse 33. "Then Jesus therefore saw her weeping," the Jews also weeping, "which had come with her. He groaned in the spirit, was troubled." He didn't groan in the spirit and was troubled when Martha came and planted her feet in front of him and put her hands on her hips. His response was not to groan in spirit. And in verse 34, said, "Where have you laid him? Lord, come and see." Verse 35, Jesus wept. Now look, that is a different response. Those two women said the same words. Anybody here knows you can say the same words with a different tone. And they said the same words in different tones. And if you doubt that Martha was being a little sassy and a little saucy and a little disrespectful, in verse 38, "Jesus therefore again growing in himself coming to the grave, it was a cave, a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he hath been dead 4 days." Weren't you there for Science 101? He stinks by now, I'm telling you. You're too late. You're too late. I told you you should have come earlier. Now, folks, that's not the same attitude that Mary had. And so what I'm telling you, the conclusion is that it is possible to work your fingers to the bone for Jesus Christ and still miss the spirit of the thing a little bit. Because Mary had a much, much different relationship with the Lord than Martha did. Martha was always kind of snarly. And, you know, whereas Mary, folks, all three times we're going to look at here, Mary was at his feet each time. And two out of the three times, Martha is standing with her hands on her hips doing that. It's true. Look in John 12. It's the only other place that these two ladies show up. And again, while there's not a lot that's said about Martha here, 12:1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served." There she is. I mean, she's the kitchen lady. I mean, she's the one. I mean, you know, she is the Martha Stewart of Bible days. She's good at it. Nobody does it better. "But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary now a pound of spikenard," of ointment of spikenard, "very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said," "not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief, had the bag, bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this." What I wanted you to see there was, okay, Martha doesn't complain this time, and that's good. But in this case, Jesus Christ takes up for Mary. They start piling on Mary. He tells them politely to back off or else. Right? Okay, that's a lot different than the relationship he had with Martha. See, Martha was cumbered about her much serving. She served God, and as far as we know, she served until the day she died, and it was all good, and he'll reward her for it, and all that. but it wasn't the same close, warm relationship that he had with Mary. There was a difference. And there's a couple of different ways you can serve God. And you can serve him and murmur under your breath about people that don't appreciate you and how it's you think it's about time the Lord do something for you after all you've been doing stuff for him all these years. Or you can have Mary's spirit and sit quietly, and every time you see Mary, she's at his feet. Talked about servant's encumbrance, Martha's spirit, the Lord's attitude. And lastly, you'll see Mary's place. I've already said it two or three times, so I don't have to say it again. Every time you find Mary, you find her at his feet. Now, again, let's go back to this, just to illustrate this thing with Martha again. You go back to Luke 10, and I can't prove this, okay? I can't prove it. So you can take this with a grain of salt. You tell me what happens, though. Let's say it doesn't happen quite the way. Knowing Martha now the way you know Martha, and Mary the way you know Mary, tell me what happens. Instead of it happening like this, Martha's in the kitchen getting supper ready, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. And she and Jesus are talking. And in a minute, Mary goes, "Oh, Lord, you know, Martha's been getting dinner ready all morning. I need to go see if there's anything I can do to help her. Can you excuse me a minute?" "Sure, no problem." Mary goes in the kitchen where Martha has a slight grease burn, has flour on her forehead, a little bit flustered. You know, Mary could have been in the kitchen a little while before now. And Mary goes, "Martha, I'm sorry, I was carried away talking to the Lord. Is there something I can do to help?" Tell me what happens. No, I have it. I already have grease all over me, and you just go in and entertain the Lord. I'm fine. Just like Brother Stevens at the grill. I'm telling you, human nature is an ugly thing. And you'll have to make up your mind whether you want to nurture that little peevish part of your relationship with God or whether you don't. Because nobody else can help you with it. Because if they do come to you, you'll pretend everything's okay. "Can I help?" "No, I'm fine. I have it now." Tell me that's not what happened. That's not what would have happened. It would have happened. I know, because it's happened to me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I appreciate that Mary was always at your feet. And tell you what, Lord, we appreciate that Martha was always serving. We appreciate that. And this church has got a bunch of people in it just sitting here right tonight that do a lot. They give as much of their time as they can, and sometimes even more. I pray that you'd help us to be careful not to judge one another with regard to these things, but, Lord, that we might nurture the right kind of spirit in our own selves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Not going to draw out a long invitation here. If you, the Lord's dealt with you about something here tonight, give you an opportunity to come. Jenny's just going to play here for a couple minutes, and then we're going to be dismissed here pretty quick. If you need to come, you come. Let's stand. Have a word of prayer to close. Father, we pray you'll dismiss us with your blessing here tonight. And we're aware of some weather conditions. We've all seen cars in the ditch on the way home and back. We pray that you give everybody safety getting back home here tonight. Some folks have traveled for a ways. Pray to get them back home all right. And we pray for safety these next few days as weather promises still to be kind of raunchy. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us through the Word of God. Pray you'd help us to adjust our hearts and spirits as you direct us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, folks. I need to get some guys to help me move that piano.